revival this morning. And you woke me up. Get busy, Al. But I want to stay revived. I want to stay revived. God is just a good God. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. God is just God by himself. I just want to thank the Lord for what he's doing with us. And it don't seem like God is doing much sometimes. But man, if you just keep your eyes open and your ears tuned, man, you can see God doing a whole lot. God is preparing us. He getting us ready for that great day. But God, not only for the great day, God is getting us ready for this day. We got to live in this world. We was reading this morning about how Jesus prayed, you know, leading up to his crucifixion, how he prayed for himself and how he glorified the Father and how he prayed for his disciples and he prayed for the church. And the Lord said he didn't pray that the Father would take us out of the world. He said, I pray that you will keep them while they're in the world from the evil. And me and Pastor was just talking about this morning how God has been keeping us from all evil. Ooh, he's been keeping us from all kinds of evil. You know, we might get touched with this or that or cold or might have been a COVID or whatever. But how many know that God is a healer? He came and touched your body, got you up out of the hospital if you had to go to the hospital, got you out of that sick room if you was laying in the sick room. God is just God, and he won't fail us at all. So I just thank the Lord for what he's doing in this hour, in this time, and in this day. And we count it all joy, if anybody's out there listening. We count it all joy when they say all evil manners against you. When they speak bad about you, we bless them and curse them not. Lord, we ask that you will bless the people this morning. Father, we pray, God, this morning that you will bless this word. Bless the speaker of this word, God. We pray, God, that you will bless me, Lord. Bless the hearers of this word, God. Those, Father God, that's under the sound of my voice this morning, God. Help me, Father, I pray, Lord God, to encourage, God, to lift up, God, to edify this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, your word is blessed, God. Your word is the truth. It is sanctified, God. It is holy, Lord. So, God, I pray this morning, God, that you will help me, God, to know how to decrease, God, and let the Holy Ghost come up on me and increase, God, and use me, Father God, for these minutes, oh God, however long, Lord God, that you allow me to stand before your people, Lord. Father, I ask it in the name of Jesus. I ask that you have your way, God. In Jesus' name, God, I give you praise, glory, and honor. Give God some praise in his house this morning. He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. God is just a good God. He's a mighty God. And boy, I tell you, coming here sometimes, you just feel like ain't nothing gonna happen. But when you get to thinking and remembering what God has said, and Pastor, we went back to this morning, memory lane, walked back on some roads that, you know, we traveled, and we started to remember what God said. And when you start to remember what God said, then you start holding on then. Then you start believing stronger again. Well, we might not be such and such, but God said, God gave so-and-so a vision. God, that's the only thing that's keeping me holding on is that vision. He said, look, my people will perish without one. God got to show you something. He got to show us something. Otherwise, it'd be hard for us to hold on. It's hard for us to hold on with the vision. But imagine without a vision. Oh, I think the doors would be closed. Windows be boarded up and be a for sale sign out there in the yard. But God given us a vision, what he said he wants to do and what he said he's going to do in this building. You know, I'm praying for the church. I'm praying for the body. But my heart desire is that something happens here in Revival Center. I'm looking for God to move in here. God showed somebody that the roof is going to be blown off of this building. He's shown so many people different things about this building. I can't do nothing but hold on. I can't do nothing but get myself ready on Saturday morning for Sunday morning. I can't help it. I got to get ready because I might miss that roof being blown off if I don't make it that Sunday. I might miss the people hanging out of doors and looking in the window that somebody saw. I might miss it. So I got to be here. You got to be here. Don't let nobody tell you that you ain't supposed to be in church. It's just a building. We were talking about that this morning. Yes, it's a building. But why would God give us, the ministers, apostles, teachers, preachers, you know, prophets, you know. He said, how can the preacher preach except he be sent? Where he sending them to? They ain't going to let him in the schools. He ain't going to the club preaching. Can't go to the racetrack. They ain't going to let him in the White House. He got to go to church. He got to be in the church. So you got to be in the church. He sent his preachers to preach the gospel in the church and throughout all the land, yes. But you're supposed to be in the house of God if you're one of the ones that let COVID drive you out of the church. You're supposed to be sitting in the house of God, listening to the preacher, listening to the bishop, listening to that apostle. You're supposed to be sitting in the house of God. Yes, that one that is sitting at home that used to be. Come on back. God is trying to get you prepared for something. Hey, we're not learning nothing from overseas, and we're not learning at all. Don't think what you see overseas just stays overseas. It's going to cross. It's going to pass over one day. And it's going to be right in your own backyard, not your backyard. It's going to be in your front yard. It's going to be in your front yard one day. So God wants to prepare you for something. He's trying to get you ready for something. And I know that great day everybody speak of. But Lord, I want to be ready today. I want to be ready tomorrow, next week, and so on until you come and get us on out of here. I'm going to be talking to you a little bit this morning about preparation day. I'm going to read Matthew 26. I'm going to jump over to John 19, starting 28, but Matthew 26, starting at the very first verse. Like I said, we're leading up until the crucifixion of Jesus. You know, he's getting ready to die for the sins of the world. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders and the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box and a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Jesus understood. He said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman had done, be told for a memorial of her. Praise God. Thank God for the reading of the word. Here it is, that Jesus is at the Last Supper with his disciples, getting himself ready, as they say. But how many know Jesus, when he got here, he was always preparing himself. He knew the purpose of his coming. He knew why he was coming before he came. You know, so Jesus, when he got here, he was making preparation each and every day. And that shows us that each and every day of our life, we're supposed to be making preparation, getting ourselves ready. He was getting himself ready for the cross, you know, to endure the shame, the pain, and all that he had to endure, the loneliness. Jesus was preparing himself because he knew that it was going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen, but what he tells us was going to happen. We know that, you know, wars and rumors of wars and all of this stuff is going to happen. We got to prepare ourselves for that kind of stuff. We know that famine's going to come, plague's going to come. You got to prepare yourself for that kind of stuff. Let's go to John 19. Verse 28. Y'all bear with me. John 19:28. Y'all flipping pages. I'm scrolling. I'm reading off the scroll. John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it up on hyssop and put it into his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was preparation, the day of preparation, that the bodies should not remain up on the cross on the Sabbath day. For that Sabbath day was an high day. Besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. And here it is, this day that they crucified our Lord, that it was the day of their day of preparation. They wanted to hurry up and get this thing over with. And so they asked Pilate, since these two guys ain't dead yet, can we break their legs so we can speed up their day, their death, and so we can go on and prepare our Passover. They want to get to their festival. Some of the Jews, they celebrated the Passover went for 7 days, and some of them celebrated it 8 days. And so they wanted to hurry up and get with their business of eating and drinking, not considering what they had just done. They just shed some innocent blood, just killed an innocent man who's the Son of God that came and take away the sin of the world. And then none of that crossed their mind. But they want to go and prepare some food and get themselves ready to eat and get drunk and think that they have really done something. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about preparation. When an athlete prepares himself, he goes through all types of events in his life. But I think the biggest event that any athlete can go through is preparing his mind. You got to get your mind right when you're going out, you know, standing in front of a bunch of people that's looking for you to perform. And you got to have the right mind, because if your mind ain't right, then your body won't function the way your mind is telling you to function. So if your mind is not strong in what you're doing, then your body not going to be strong in what you're doing. And so, you know, preparation is getting ready for something or warming up. Getting yourself equipped or strengthening yourself. Another one says that it arranges or put things in position. It organizes or make plans for the future. How many of us are making plans for our future today? How many is making preparation for the natural future? Retirement. You know, you're making preparation. You're putting money aside. You're making sure you're going to have the best kind of insurance that you can get when you get a little older, because they say things don't work right when you get older, all things. But pastor says she don't have no problem with none of that. She don't know what we're talking about when things like that, people get to talking about this. She said, I don't know nothing about that. You know, aches and pains and cracks and that kind of thing. No, honey, I don't know nothing about that. So you got to prepare yourself, you know, and some folk don't prepare themselves. And you see them often out here, you know. I see people often, you know, I say, Lord, I don't want to be like that. He said, you got to make preparation, though, so you won't be like that. I don't want to be a beggar. I don't want to be one of the ones that's, you know, to say that what I had, but now that I'm old, I'm begging, I ain't got it no more. You know, I want to be able to sustain my family. You know, but you got to make preparation for it. But you got to make preparation also for the life after. And it's just not this life that Jesus is concerned about. He's concerned about the life after, that eternal life. And the only way that you can make preparation for that eternal life is prepare your life the way that he prepared his life. You got to, Jesus talked to the Father. He prayed to the Father. He obeyed the Father. He waited for his Father. He served his Father. Jesus did so many great things. He did signs, wonders, and miracles. We got to prepare ourselves for the eternal side. Preparation day is today, saints of God. God is preparing us for something great in this life and the life after. Don't think, like I said earlier, don't think that because what's going on overseas ain't nothing gonna happen over here. You better get yourself ready. You better get your house in order. It's time to get your house in order, saints of God. And I ain't talking about that brick and mortar house. We need to get that house in order too, because there's a whole lot of things in them houses that's out of order too. We got to make preparation for them houses too. But God is telling us to get this house together. He's telling us to get this house together. If you ain't got this house together, then you're going to be in a bad place. God, he going to come and going to catch you with your work undone. He told Hezekiah, look, get your house in order because you're surely going to die. In other words, he's telling him to get your will together. Get everything that you got that want to go here, where you wanted to go. If it's going there, let that go there and let this go there. He's telling us to get your will together. Hezekiah, get all your beneficiaries together. Get all your beneficiaries together, saints of God. Get them all together, your sons, your daughters, your nieces, your nephews. Get them together. Because one thing for sure, God, when he started this thing, when he started you on this journey, started prepping you for what you got to endure in this life, God already had his beneficiaries in order. God, when he sent his son Jesus, and Jesus came, while he was on the cross, you was on his mind. And he said, Lord, I got to do this. I don't pray for the world. I pray for the ones that you gave me. I pray that you keep them while they're in the world. And while you're in the world, how many know that God has been keeping you each and every day? God has been keeping you every single day. So the beneficiaries of God are already set in order. We are joint heirs with Christ. Yes, we are. We are joint heirs. So everything that Jesus has, not what he had, because he still got it. Everything that Jesus has is yours. Healing is yours. You're the beneficiary of healing. But some folk don't think that they can have healing. Deliverance is yours. Some people don't think that they could come out of some stuff. It belongs to you. You're joint heirs with Christ. He said, look, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for all of our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was up on him. And with his stripes, that you are already healed. God has already picked out his beneficiaries from the time that Jesus came to this earth. Y'all bear with me this morning. I'm trying to go by these notes, and I wish the Holy Ghost would just let me go with these notes. I wish he just let me go with these notes. Y'all bear with me this morning. You know, God, God is preparing us for something, something great. He's preparing us for something really great. You know, but after the day of preparation, look, you're being prepared each and every day. Every test, every trial is to make you strong. It's to bring you to where God wants you to bring you to. Because after the preparation was the Passover. Was the Passover after the preparation? I'm going to try to lean on the Holy Ghost this morning. I'm going to stay away from that podium for a while. After the preparation came the Passover. Jesus was the Passover. Now, see, in the wilderness, they had to get some stuff together. They had to prepare some stuff in the wilderness. When they was getting ready to be Exodus out of Egypt, God told them to prepare themselves. Get yourself ready. Look, you take a lamb or a goat for each house. You prepare and you make sure this head is cooked with the legs. You can't boil them. I don't want you to fry them. I want you to roast them. Now, God had a particular way of doing things. He wanted you to do a particular way. So he said, y'all got to get ready. And when you get this thing going now, when you get it ready, don't take your shoes off. You eat with your shoes on, put your coat on your back. God was preparing them to get on out of there. Maybe some of them didn't understand. And so then even after they got out of there, God had another the second day of preparation when they was in the wilderness. And he told them, look, 6 days, y'all go out there and collect this manna. They was out there complaining about what they ain't got. Lord, Moses brought us out here. We ain't got no food, no water. And God got tired of a murmuring. God getting tired of this murmuring spirit that we have. And we just got to give God some praise. We just got to thank him for what he already done. They just come across the Red Sea. They just come out of bondage. Some of us just come out of bondage. Some of us just come across our Red Sea. But God said, I'm tired of murmuring. Look, I'm going to give them manna. I'm going to give them bread from heaven. So he rained down bread for them and said, this is a preparation now. This is another preparation. Y'all go out there and collect up as much as manna as you want. But on the 6th day, y'all make sure y'all collect double. On the 7th day, I want you to rest. I don't want you to go out there. Folk went out there anyway on the 7th day trying to collect and get some manna, but they couldn't find none. That's 2nd day preparation. But look, these days that we're going through, God is prepping us. He getting us ready. Getting us ready because, look, that's going to come a high time. That's going to come a high Sabbath one day. And we got to be able to enter into that rest. We got to be ready. So God is prepping you right now. So every test, every trial, every dilemma that you go on, everything that don't go your way, every hardship, every loss that you go through, count it that God is prepping you, getting you ready for something greater and greater. I'm talking about greater in this life too, because some of us need to live in this life too. We just can't wait until the Passover. We can't pass over no way until we get prepped. You got to get prepped before you even go over there. They couldn't go over to the other side unless they was ready and to believe Jesus. They can't go to the other side. You can't get over there until you believe the Lord. And so when God told them to go ahead and you on the 6th day, you collect as much as you want because it's going to be enough. I promise you it's going to be enough for you to eat on the Sabbath day. But folk just don't believe God. That's just where we are today. We just can't trust God after all of these miracles, after God brought you out of a limp. God got you up off that not sick bed, but some of us was on our dying bed, ready to get out of here and didn't know how we was going to get out of here. But once God raised you up and God tell you to do something else, if something else ain't going your way, I need a house, Lord. I need a job. Oh, woe is me. I don't know how we going to make it, Tawana. You know, the bills are due. I don't know what we going to do. I say, well, look, I just did something for you. Not long ago, I just rained down manna from heaven. I just brought you across the Red Sea. I performed all of these signs, wonders, and miracles over in Egypt. I brought you out, and I can't do this. God, whatever that you are involved in, Whatever that you are facing, you don't think God is greater enough to get you by? He can't meet your needs. Huh? Is God able? You need a job? God can do it. Huh? You need healing? God can do it. We got to start believing and letting folk know that God can do this thing. I was telling Pastor this morning that I was down in my body a little bit, but everybody calling me, telling me you need to go to the doctor. You got to go do this. You know, they become the doctor. They tell you, they prescribe to you what you need to do and how you need to do it and, you know, why you need to do it. I mean, they just tell it all for you. And I just tell them, I had a little cold. All I had are the sniffles, a little fever. You know, that ain't enough for me to be running to the doctor. You know, that just ain't enough for me. God can do this thing. I've seen God do great things for me. I've seen God do wonders for me. God is a wonder in my soul. So God is preparing us for something great. God wants to move in this generation. God wants to move in this church. But we got to meet the preparations. We got to have what it take for God to move for us. We have to. And God is preparing you. Whether you want to be prepared or not, God gonna prepare you. Whether you want to or not. Because you know why? You are one of his chosen ones. So you're gonna be prepared or not. God gonna take you through though. He gonna take you through, but he said, look at here. God is trying to, he told me to tell you, he's trying to pour some stuff down in us. And every time that we go through something, don't think that God is trying to pour something out of you. God is trying to put something inside of you when you're going through, when you're tested. You know, people talking about you, things just, you know, like I say, things just ain't going 100% your way. Things ain't going 10% your way. Don't think God has forgotten you. And that's the whole nother way of being prepped. When it feel like God is nowhere around, God is prepping you to see what you're going to do. You know, when that prayer that you've been praying for ages, for weeks and months, maybe years, you still praying the same prayer, God trying to see if you still going to believe him. Or you yet holding on to what you asked me for. You know, how many give up on their prayers? How many just say, well, Lord, I'm going to change and pray a whole different other prayer. Now, God wants you to just be steadfast. He wants you to be unmovable, always abounding in his work. And his work is to believe him that he's able to do what you have asked him to do. That's what God is preparing us for. And so God gave me this little recipe, you know, and he said he was pouring stuff down in me. God is pouring stuff down inside of you. I said, Lord, what are you pouring in me? I need some strength. God said, I'm putting it in you. He said, Lord, some people need some joy. He said, I'm putting it in them. You know, the only way you can get some joy, some strength, is get some joy. You know, I had a good time this morning. You know, if you're weak, start praising God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're weak, I guarantee you start praising God and start forgetting about all of this stuff that's around you, that's going on around you. You'll forget about it, and before you know it, God will send you a blessing. But God ain't going to do nothing in the murmuring and complaining state. He can't move like that because you murmuring and sad and pitiful looking. God wants you to look joyful. He wants you to be joyful. And he said, look, I'm pouring some stuff down inside of you. I'm preparing you, Brother Al. I'm preparing you, saints, for what I got for you. God got something for us, saints. He's got some things for us that we can't even imagine. The Bible tells us that God has prepared some things for us. Eyes have not even seen, nor ears have even heard. It never entered into our heart what God has prepared. God got great things for us. And I think we prolong those things by the state of mind and the state of being that we are in. If we learn how to every day just be constant and faithful praying, praising God, God could drop down here, the visions and all of that stuff could come true. It'll come to pass. So God said he's putting something down inside of us. He said, look, He brought it to my remembrance how I used to be a chef. I used to be a pastry chef. And he started telling me about how do I used to make a pie and all of these sauces. Everything that I made for that restaurant, I made it from scratch. I started with nothing, just like he started with us, with nothing. And then it came out to be something just great. He said, all of these ingredients that you have for a apple pie or any kind of pie, you got the cinnamon and nutmeg, and you got all of this stuff. I even had to make the pie dough from scratch. I have nothing to work with. They just say, here, giving them ingredients, make us a pie. God telling you, here. Here are the ingredients. Make some joy. Here. Here. Here are the ingredients. Make some faith. Here. Get some happiness. Get some peace. He said, look, listen, this is God's recipe for us. He said, God said he is pouring all these ingredients in us. And he said, I'm putting some love in you. And he said, I put a little bit of joy in you, a touch of peace, a whole lot of long suffering, because a whole lot of us need a whole lot of long suffering. He said he can have two helpings of long suffering, maybe three, as much as you want of long suffering. He's putting the long suffering inside of you. And he said, I'm going to give you a pinch of gentleness and some goodness. You got to have some goodness and a measure of faith, however much faith that you want, however much faith that you can handle. He said, I'm putting it in you. If you can believe me to move a mountain like I said, then I'll move that mountain. If you can believe me to heal that hip, then I'll do it. If you can believe me to sew up that breach in your stomach, I'll do it. If much as faith as you want, put it in there. That's God's ingredient. He said, look, I'm going to give you a measure of faith. He said, I'm going to give you some meekness and a handful of temperaments. See, God is getting us ready for the future events that's going to happen. We can't get past this present time and get to the future unless we are being prepped right now. God is trying to build us up to where we can stand in this day and this hour. Not only stand, but cause other people to stand. Yes, things ain't going right for us all the time, but when we meet somebody else that's down, we're supposed to be able to lift them up. We're supposed to be able to grab them by the hands or grab them by the hands with words and tell them, you can get up from there. You can make it. God is able. Well, look what he did for me. He can do the same thing for you. What happened to you, Brother Al? That happened to you, Tawana? How did you make it, girl? I just put it in God's hand, girl. You know, I just stopped looking at what it was. You know, because he told me not to walk by sight. No way. He told me to walk by faith. So what I'm looking at, that ain't even the truth. You know, that ain't going to be there forever. You know, no, I got to walk by faith and not by sight. So God wants you to walk by what he put inside you. If he wants you to walk by love, walk by love. You ain't got to be mad at everybody because everybody else is mad at him. Huh? Because this person mad at him. The guy on my job, he mad at the supervisor because he was doing wrong. And he walking around trying to get everybody else on his side and talk bad about him. You know, and if I ain't got nothing bad to say or good to say, I'm just not going to say, Lord, I'm not going to get involved in that. And so he just rallying and rallying. He just, hey, so-and-so, so-and-so, rallying. Yeah, I heard you, brother. Yeah, you're right. Well, okay, let me go and stock my truck. I get back with you. The devil trying to bring you down, too. He'll try to steal your joy. He'll try to steal your peace. He'll try to steal the relationship that you got with folk. You know, you got to be wise out here. You know, God is trying to prepare us for what we got to endure. And we got to endure some things. That's what he told Timothy. He said, look, Timothy, look, you endure as a good soldier, as unto Christ. Endure the hardness. It's going to be some hard stuff. When God called you to this army, he didn't call you to no little bitty fight. He didn't call you to no little fight. He called you to a great fight, a great army. God has a great army. And God battles are hard. And all the time, you ain't got to fight them. He said, look, just be still and know that I'm God. Let me do it. He told Moses one time, this battle, you ain't going to even have to fight. You ain't got to fight this one. Some of the battles, you ain't even got to fight. Just leave them to God. Let God do them. All you got to do is get on your knees and start praying and start worshiping the Lord. Get you a song. March around the walls or whatever it is seven times. Do what you got to do. I was in here the other day. I said, Lord, I'm going to march seven times to whatever it is that's got me till it fall off of me. I marched seven times. Well, maybe you want me to go one more time. I went one more time. You got to do something to get your mind off your issue. Put your mind on God. He said, they that keep their mind stayed on me shall be kept in perfect peace. And folk ain't got no peace. Ain't got no love, no joy. And they don't know how they gonna make it. I tell you how we gonna make it. We got to get prepped. You got to get ready for this stuff. And if you ain't ready, it's gonna find you out. And the people gonna find you out too. The devil gonna find you out too. When you ain't ready, you know that you ain't ready. And you'll say, Lord, I got to put me back on the potter's wheel. Make me over again, Lord. I want to pass that. That's what I do sometimes. Lord, I want to pass that test. In fact, you got to pass that test. You can't go to the next test until you pass this test. You can't go to the second grade unless you pass the first grade. You can't go no further unless you get past this one. So you got to get past it. And so after the preparation day was the Passover. And Jesus is the Passover. And so after they ate on that sixth day, the seventh day that they were supposed to rest in the wilderness. On our seventh day, we're supposed to rest. And that seventh day, God is talking about that high Sabbath. Jesus, John 19, he died. The Bible says was the high Sabbath. Because I believe the Sabbath fell on the seventh. But they were killing the Passover, and he had already had Passover with his disciples. But they was killing the Passover, Jesus, not knowing who he was. So Jesus says, when I see the blood, God said, I'm going to pass over you. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm trying to go somewhere. When he see the blood, he going to pass over you. What's passing over you? All hell, all destruction, everything that the enemy can think of you, everything, every weapon, everything that was formed against you is going to pass over you. It has passed over you. So, but when it passes over you, God was telling them that you have to enter in this way. What's that? You have to enter in that Sabbath. You got to rest in me. Not just that one day. The Sabbath day was a holy day, and it was every day of the week during that time. They kept those festivals. Am I right, Pastor? If I'm speaking wrong. 7 days, and some of the Jews kept it 8 days. So every day is the Sabbath day. You got to trust God not only on the Saturday, on the Sabbath day. You got to trust him on the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth. You just got to keep on trusting God. You know, God said, look, you can't enter in. They could not enter in my rest. How are you going to enter in God's rest when you're not trusting him? That's all God is preparing you for. He's preparing you to trust in him, to just sit back and let him do all the work. He want to do it anyway. But some of us, like me, I like to do stuff with my hands. I want to just jump in there and say, I do it, Lord. Let me get this going. You know, I can do it. Now rest, Al. Let me do it. I can do it. I know how to do it. I know when to do it. I know where to do it. I know who to start with. Let me do it. Let God do this thing. Let go and let God do it. God wants to do it anyway. Let him save your children. Let him save your husband. Let him save your neighbor. Let him save your coworker. Let God do it. Only God can do it anyway. God saved you. You didn't save yourself. Let God do it. Let go and let God. Rest in God. Be one of those beloveds that sit in his bosom whom he loved. John just, everybody else just wondering what's going on. And John just, I'm resting. You know, y'all don't know what y'all doing. Let Get the spirit of John. Just rest and let God do it. God wants to do it. He going to do it, Brittany. He going to do it. 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 God going to do this thing. He going to do it, Selena. He going to do it. God going to do it. He going to do it. He going to do it. He wants to do it. He wants to do it. That's what this guy was telling me. He said, why don't you let the doctor go to the doctor and let the doctor do it? I said, if I had to go to the doctor and let him do something, I would. But I ain't got nothing to go to the doctor for. You know, I'm going to the doctor, the great physician. I'm going to acknowledge him first. And if my faith failed, then I have to go to that other doctor. But long as God put faith in you, long as that part of that ingredients in you, you can make it. It can happen. It's going to change some things. It can change everything. Faith above all is what we got to have. Look, know that God is preparing you for something each and every day, saints of God. Every day God has got us wrapped up in his arms. God is with us. God ain't never left us. He ain't never going to leave us. So don't think that you're out there by yourself. God is with you. Emmanuel today is with us. Prepare yourself for this day. Prepare yourself for the next day. Get prepared. How you going to prepare yourself? How you going to prepare yourself? By resting. Resting on that Sabbath day, on today. Resting tomorrow. Don't let nothing shake you. Don't let nothing move you. That's all the devil come to do is shake you and rattle you and roll you on up out of here. God trying to keep you. Keep your feet. Order your steps. Keep you steadfast. Keep you unmovable. Devil trying to move you each and every day with trials, with tribulation, with things that you hear. He allow you to hear, that you tune into. Don't let the devil move you. He can't move you. God is with you. God is holding you up. So believe God. Trust God and know that God is and he will. God is preparing you for something great. In this day and hour, saints of God, I believe it. And I believe God is preparing us all. God has something great in this life. That's what he said. In this life you shall reap and the next life. I'm looking for this life. I got to live today. So I need some things. So I'm asking God to keep preparing me. Lord, don't leave me alone. Help me. Make me. Shape me. Mold me. Do what you got to do to me to get me in order. Get me to line up with your word. Line up with your will. For it is not us anyway. It's God that worketh in us. You know, we are the sons of God. God is trying to make us like that. I don't know if y'all like apple pies. What's beautiful to y'all? Those pies used to be beautiful to me. That, my work was so good. I had a lot of portfolios, didn't I? I had a lot of pictures and stuff. My hands did that. I mean, like, boy, I didn't know I was that good not to go to school. I ain't never been to no cook school. I mean, man, standing next to sous chefs from France, executive chefs from all over the place. Man, I'm like, oh, my God, I made this. Go home and show, ain't that beautiful, y'all? That's what God trying to do to you. You know, he's putting all this stuff inside of us, trying to make you make something beautiful of your life. I make something beautiful out of the dough and the spices and all of that stuff he provided. God trying to provide for us to make something beautiful. He wants you to represent. Represent him. We got to rep the Lord. Hey, look, I'm a child of God. I belong to God here now. You belong to God. And know that you belong to God. Own whatever God gives you. Demand it. Command it. It's supposed to be yours. Until God come and take us out of here. So saints of God, know that the Lord wants you to rest. And we know that Jesus, he was the Passover. And when he passed over, he went right on down to hell and got the Old Testament saints and brought them on up with him. God wants us to pass over too. But we can't pass if we ain't prepped. You can't get to that other side unless you've been prepped. Your mind won't let you go. Prepare yourself, not only for the coming of the Lord, or for every test, every trial. But prepare yourself also for his blessings. God's got a blessing for you. God got a blessing for you, not just tests and trial. You know, he got blessings for you, benefits. You are his beneficiary. I'm in the will. I ain't see your name. I ain't see your name. But I saw my name. I'm in the will. I'm in the middle of the will, too. I'm in the very middle of the will. So a whole lot of names, but I'm in the will. And I believe that whatever I'm supposed to have, I'm supposed to have. I'm going to get it. I don't know when, but I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. Yes, it belongs to me because I'm in the will. You know, bless the Lord over my soul for getting out all his benefits. Yes, Lord. Healing is mine. What belongs to you? Healing is mine. I need a healing in my soul. Deliverance is mine. I need a deliverance. I need a miracle. I need some finance. You know, I need some peace. Whatever you need, claim it. It's yours. Declare it, decree it. Speak it over yourself. Don't wait for nobody to speak it over you. You know, dismiss and folk be gone. Declare over yourself what belongs to you. God bless you this morning. Know that Jesus was the Passover, and he wants you to rest in him. Don't be like the other saints. You know, Paul told the Hebrews that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. And that's all that Sabbath day is faith. It's faith, faith, faith in God. God is looking for faith. I'm telling you, God is really looking for us because God is faithful. He wants us to be faithful and wants us to believe and have the faith that he gave us. Whatever measure it is, we don't know. But he put a measure of faith in us. So whatever God gave us, it's enough to get the job done. All you got to do is just believe. God bless you this morning.